This morning, if you would please take your Bible, open to the book of Ephesians and chapter number 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. And the Bible says in verses 11, 12, and 13, gives us these words, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised us that when we gather together in your name, you are right there in the midst of us. And so we're trusting and believing that you are here to work in our hearts and our lives the work that needs to be done. We ask, Lord, that you'll speak to us today. Show us what you'd want us to learn. Please help us to listen carefully and determine in our hearts that we're going to do our best to follow through with what you teach us this morning. Please bless as the message goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. We are a part of a local body of believers that have gathered together, of course, to worship the Lord and to learn about him, but also to work together to serve him and to represent him on this earth. One of the most important goals of any local congregation, including ours, of course, one of the most important goals is to effectively mature and train believers to get involved in the ministry of representing the Lord to the rest of the world around us. Now, the Bible tells us in this passage that I started with that God gave to the church family, he gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, he gave pastors and teachers. And here's why he gave them, verse 12, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ." God gave these men as gifts to the church to help them to grow and mature and get solid and get anchored and get trained and so forth. You notice again, for the perfecting of the saints. The idea is they're growing those Christian saints and maturing those Christian saints. And then it goes on to say also for the work of the ministry. I want you to understand, and I hope that you already do, and if you already do understand this, I'm just reminding you, the church is not the pastor alone. The church is the body of believers that meets together, yes, to worship him, to learn of him, but also to represent him to this world around us, okay? So there's a sense in which the building is not the church. There's a sense in which the people are the church, all right? We are the ones that have gathered together. Actually, we are Stoughton Baptist Church. We've gathered here in this place, yes, and this is our meeting place, but this is still just a building. And it'll always be that. But you and I are the church, and we are all to do what we can to represent Jesus to the rest of the world around us. So he gave these men, according to this passage, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and then for the edifying of the body of Christ. Naturally, you and I should be involved in not only representing him to the rest of the world, but trying to encourage one another and edify one another, strengthen one another, exhort one another to grow as a Christian and to be all that God would want us to be. That's all part of the ministry. But again, I want to say a second time, that can't happen just the pastor alone. Every one of us need to be involved in doing what we can to serve the Lord. In fact, the more of us that get involved, the more we will be able to accomplish. So it's a personal responsibility for each one of us. I hope here everybody understands that one person can't do this alone. All of us need to do our part. And the more of us who do our part, the better and more that we can get done for our Savior. So today I want to talk to you about this thought, every member in ministry. Every member in ministry. Notice, if you would, verse 12 of our text. And here's the thought I want to give you with that verse. Every church member should be involved. Every church member should be involved. It says in verse 12 again that God gave these men, that he mentioned in verse 11, he gave these men for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yes, God wants you to be perfected and matured, but he also wants you to be involved in the work of the ministry. You know, things like teaching Sunday school classes, serving in the choir, serving as a deacon, perhaps, serving as an usher, maybe playing the piano, maybe singing a special, maybe even cleaning the church, maybe inviting others to come, maybe giving rides to some so that they can come. You know, getting involved, passing out tracts, doing everything you can to try to further the work of the ministry and represent again the Lord Jesus Christ to the rest of this world. The primary thought, of course, is that every saint or every Christian or every believer would be perfected or matured to that point that they also are involved in ministry. Okay? Now, I realize that when you're a brand new Christian, there might not be a lot you can do. You haven't been trained yet. You haven't been matured. You haven't grown and got established in your own Christian faith. You might not even be able to find a certain passage, or maybe you don't know the books of the Bible yet, or maybe you don't know most of these hymns that we sing, or, you know, you're brand new, and so there's a lot of learning and education and growth and maturity that has to happen. But as soon as you're able, you should find something that you can do to serve the Lord. I remember in a previous church, we haven't, that I remember, done that here yet, but it probably would be a good idea if we could do things like this as time goes along. And we don't have a whole lot right now, but this hopefully will change, Lord willing. We had a head usher in my first church that would get other men involved, okay, as Brother Tom tries to get other men involved here, helping with the ushering. But one of the things we did there in the Sunday school offering is that he would enlist young men that were already coming. I'm talking about, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids to help with the offering, to help get them used to serving, see, and get them involved. One of the things that we try to do in all the churches that I've been, including this one, is as soon as young people get to the age of 13, if they're willing, to get them involved in the choir and help them to serve that way. But these are just two examples where we can try to get folks involved as early as possible, you know. Now, I'm really sorry about this for some of the folks that are here with little ones, because normally Brian and Rebecca and their family are here. And normally when we have couples come with little children, you know, their girls, Sarah and Natalie especially, they're willing to step right up and take little ones and take them down for junior church or Sunday school or whatever is needed. And sadly, they're gone today. They're on vacation today. So I apologize for that. But normally they're ready and willing and able to do that. And that's part of the ministry, see? That's part of being involved. You understand, of course, again, I'll probably mention this several times today. One person can't do it all. Okay? One person can't do it all. Like, I can't be up here teaching and preaching right now and then also be doing a junior church for the little ones. That just makes common sense, doesn't it? I can't do this and also usher. I can't do this and, you know, a lot of other things. By the way, I'm thankful for the ladies who helped to prepare food, and I'm thankful for the ladies that help to work in the kitchen and help to clean up the things after we're done eating. I'm thankful for all those ladies as well. And they just, I don't have to ask them every week. They just step up and do it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the individuals who are part of our, I'll just call them church cleaning staff. There's several families that rotate, you know, and take it a month at a time and clean the church for us and so forth. It's very helpful. And if you don't think it's helpful, just let it go several months with nobody cleaning. Especially the boys' bathroom. P.U. Right? I mean, certain things like that have to be done. And when it doesn't get done, everybody notices. By the way, have you ever noticed this? I heard this from another pastor recently, and I thought, boy, that's really a good statement. He said, normally when all the things around the church are getting done, nobody notices. Because it's functioning like it should, and everything's happening like it should, and nobody really notices, okay? But when things aren't being done like they should, everybody notices. And I thought, yeah, what a great statement that is. Hadn't thought about it that way. But see, ministry, there's a lot more to it than preaching a sermon, and there's a lot more to it than teaching a class or even singing a special or singing in the choir. There's a lot of little things like cleaning the church or, you know, whatever, that need to be done, helping in the kitchen, that if somebody doesn't do it, of course, it doesn't get done. And everybody should find a place where they can serve and use their talents and their abilities, because if we're honest, we all admit this, I think, God gave different individuals in our church family different abilities. And some, for instance, I don't know if you know this, I'm pretty sure it's Rick Helsted. But Rick Helsted told me one time that he likes to paint. Now, I can't speak for you, but I can tell you for me, I don't like to paint. I heard an amen. There's somebody else that doesn't like to paint. I don't, you know, there's certain things that God gives you the desire or the ability or the like to do. That could be God's leading and God's open door for you to serve in that area, you know, whatever it is. One of the wonderful things that happened in my time that I've been here is that Brother Jerry and Brother Rick remodeled the main bathroom over there at the parsonage. And Sarah and I just love what they did, and of course, we use it daily, and it's a great change. But that's part of ministry also, serving in that way. It could be painting. It could be, you know, maybe we have a work day and everybody comes around and helps out, and those kind of things are all part of the ministry that need to get done. But all of us need to find what abilities and talents God's given us, and do what we can to help the ministry go forward. See. There's always lots of work to do, and in general, there's usually a shortage of workers to do it. Most every church finds that at one time or another. So if we're available and if we're willing for God to use us in that way, I know there's a job for you and for me to be involved. Number one, every church member should be involved. Number two is this. Spiritual gifts are given to Christians to be used to minister to others. Spiritual gifts are given to Christians to be used to minister to others. You know, in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, the Bible says this, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." By the way, if you ever wonder about this, and I'm not preaching on spiritual gifts this morning, but Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, those three passages show us what the spiritual gifts are. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. Spiritual gifts that are mentioned there are things like this. Preaching, teaching, ministering, exhortation, giving, showing mercy, faith. These are just some of them that are listed in those passages that I gave you. I encourage you this morning, look over the lists. Try to figure out, how has God gifted you? What talents and abilities has God given you? And then try to find a way to use that. Use those gifts that you've been given. Use them, and please notice this, use them to minister to someone else. See, the spiritual gifts are given to us not to benefit us, but to benefit others. To help others, to strengthen and encourage others, see? Spiritual gifts are really channels through which the Holy Spirit can minister to someone else. Again, it's not for you, it's for others. Spiritual gifts help other Christians grow in the Lord and mature in the Lord and get stronger in the Lord. Spiritual gifts, when they're used properly, helps the church family as a whole to be the church that God wants it to be. Again, remember this, I say it several times today, one person can't do it all. All of us have to be involved. All of us have to be involved using whatever gifts and abilities God's given us to help each other to grow and mature and, of course, to reach others for the glory of God. So spiritual gifts are channels through which the Holy Spirit ministers to others. They're given to you to help grow other Christians and help their life to become all that God wants it to be. They're given to you to help your church to be what God wants the church to be. And by the way, those spiritual gifts are always, always, always to be used to glorify the Lord. If you're doing it for your own praise, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You always want to use your gifts and talents and abilities to glorify and magnify your Savior, because that's why He gave you those gifts and talents and abilities. So, again, number one, every church member should be involved in ministry. Number two, spiritual gifts are given to Christians to be used to minister to others. Number three, church members are brought into the ministry and developed over time. Now, I was referring to this a few minutes ago. When you're first saved, you don't know a lot. You haven't grown a lot. It's really hard for you to find a place to minister because you're such a new believer and you got a lot of growing to do and a lot of maturing to do. But those members that come in, they're developed over time. Okay? If I can, just use like myself as an example. I got saved in 1973, and then I felt the Lord's calling for ministry like I'm doing now when I was 3 years later, 1976. And then, of course, I had to go to Bible college, and while I was in Bible college, I had the privilege to serve with my dad, which helped a lot. I had about 5 years of training as an assistant pastor, and then eventually, of course, in 1981, I got my very first church as the senior pastor. So you can see from 1973 until 1981, I was kind of in a training phase. I was having to grow and mature and get knowledge about spiritual things and have some on-the-job training with my dad. And you know, I'm so thankful. I was telling somebody this just the other day. I'm so thankful for that about 5 years that I had as an assistant, because it gives you all the training and so forth without all the responsibility. It's kind of like on-the-job training, you know. And somebody else has to bear the weight of all the decisions that you might have made wrong, okay? But you're learning and you're growing. And then eventually, of course, in 1981, I became the pastor of what's now called Grace Baptist Church in Appleton. But that training happens over time, see, and that bringing people into the ministry happens. It's developed and grown over time. And along the way, of course, there's lots of prayer involved. Remember Jesus saying this to his disciples? And by the way, through the Bible, he's saying it to us. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. For the fields are white already unto harvest. You know, praying for laborers, praying for workers. It's not always mentioned on Wednesday nights. But I know on my wife's prayer list, which we usually pray together on her list, you know, I'm up here leading the service and she's writing everything down. One of the things that Sarah normally writes down on her list is workers for the church ministry. And so the two of us pray for God to give us workers. God give us people that want to serve and want to work and do what needs to be done around the church ministry things, you know. So we pray for workers, and by the way, I want to encourage you and help me on this. Help Sarah and I on this. Pray for workers. So prayer is required. And then preaching and teaching is required. How's a person going to grow in their Christian faith and get matured in their Christian faith unless they're taught? They have to be taught the Word of God. Jake and I have been meeting together on a weekly basis, and this week we went over the final lesson. That I have 8 lessons I go over with a new Christian, and he and I are going to meet with the deacons this morning after the morning service, and Lord willing, next week we're going to baptize him, and Jake's a brand new Christian in our church, and I hope he has, I know I have, enjoyed the time that we've spent together to go over some of the basic things that a Christian needs to know. And then, of course, I encourage him along the way to read your Bible. I encourage him along the way to pray. I encourage him to be faithful to church services. Why? Because that's how you're going to be taught. That's how you're going to grow in your Christian faith. You're going to learn things that maybe you never knew before, see? And it helped motivate you to get involved and teach you and train you so you can get involved. So prayer is required. Preaching is required. Maybe special training is required. Right now, we don't have an Awana ministry. We did have an Awana ministry. And I remember when we had the Awana ministry, we used to have training sessions with our workers to try to instruct them on how to handle their Awana club, you know, and work with the kids and so forth. Special training might be required. Here's another thought. Practice is required. I already mentioned the 5 years being an assistant. That's so valuable. That's so valuable. You don't normally do this, and I wouldn't do this anyway, but just give some person who's a young Christian, just give them, you know, a Sunday school quarterly and say, take that group of kids over in that room and teach them God's Word. Normally you wouldn't do that. You want to make sure that they've been taught and trained and maybe they practiced a little bit first. Maybe they could be someone's assistant for a little bit. Get used to how it's done. See how it's done. Again, that's on-the-job training. That's one of the things about the years that I had as an assistant. I saw how a church was run. I got to learn the inner workings of the church and the decisions being made and the finances and all the different stuff, you know. Practice. Here's another thought. Not only is prayer required and preaching required and special training required and practice required, here's a big one. You ready? Patience is required. Huh? Patience is required. I can tell you that in those 5 years that I was an assistant, I'm positive I made mistakes. The reason I'm positive is because even since I've been the senior pastor, I've still made mistakes. So I'm certain I've made mistakes as a young man. And like I said, probably still do, but patience is required on the part of all of us with those who are serving, you know. And I was telling somebody this just the other day, that person that you're training and getting ready for that ministry and you gave them that responsibility, you're going to have patience with that person. And you know, they might not do it exactly like you would, but give them some leeway to grow and to mature and you know, you're going to see this, and I've seen this in my life of ministry. Sometimes it's one step forward and 2 steps back. You wonder if you're making progress at all. But again, that's where patience is required. So, number one, every church member should be involved in ministry. Number two, spiritual gifts are given to Christians to be used to minister to others. Number three, church members are brought into the ministry and developed over time. And it might take some time, but it can happen. And then the last main thought I want to give you is this. Why is it important for every church member to be involved? Why is it important for every church member to be involved? And I've got several thoughts here I want to give you, and that starts out with this one. To assist the pastor in ministry needs and functions. Remember, I said this now several times today. One person can't do it all. In our church, we're just like any other church in this sense. In our church, you're either pastoring the church or you're helping the pastor. That's basically what it comes down to. You're either pastoring the church, of course that's my responsibility, or you're helping the pastor. The ladies that work in the kitchen today, they're helping the pastor. The people that bring others to the church services, they're helping the pastor. During the week, if you're passing out tracts and inviting others to come to church, you're helping the pastor. This morning, Debbie played the piano wonderfully for us, but that's helping the pastor. See? The ushers ushering today, that's helping the pastor. Brother Winston's back there manning the soundboard. That's helping the pastor. You know, everything that goes on around here is naturally for the Lord. It's not for the pastor. It's for the Lord. But God gave the pastor the responsibility, and then he brought others in here to help the ministry go forward. See? To help the pastor so the ministry can go forward. So why is it important for every church member to be involved? First of all, to assist the pastor in ministry needs and functions. And then another thought is to direct select programs and ministries of the church. I just mentioned this area, and there's lots of areas that I can mention. And I may mention a couple of others just come to mind right now. But I was going to mention Brother Tom back there, who's the head usher. And I can honestly say this. I don't worry about the ushers being ready. I really don't, because in my opinion, he's doing a great job with that. And, you know, he doesn't maybe know this, but I see him sometimes going up to men and said, would you help me today with the offering? And so he prepares them ahead of time, gets them ready. And when the time comes, and he does this, especially in the morning service, he's watching and waiting for just the right cue, and then he comes. I don't have to ask him. He's already here, and he's got somebody with him. Did you notice today his cohort that he brought with him? Brother Lowell. But he does that all the time. Tom does. He gets other men to help him and get ready. I don't ever worry about that. There's other things like that happen around here. I'm not concerned about, you know, the ladies getting things ready for the lunch, because they have certain ladies that step up and do that all the time. And can I encourage you to tell them thank you for their service in the kitchen? Maybe when you go through the line today, tell them thank you for what they do. It's important. I don't have to worry about Debbie having something ready for the offertory. She never comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm not prepared. That hadn't happened one time. I don't think it probably ever will happen. Because that's her ministry. And she, you know, that's her ministry. And this is the point I'm trying to get across right here. Once you give someone that ministry, you shouldn't have to worry about it. That's their responsibility, see? Now, if it starts to lacking or whatever, I might talk to her, but I doubt that that'll happen. But you see what I'm saying? You give that to them, and then you let them have, let the Lord lead them and guide them and let them have that responsibility. So you need others. Every pastor needs others to direct certain programs and ministries of the church. Another reason why it's important for everyone to get involved is to help the pastor develop the spiritual gifts and talents within the congregation. Remember, we talked about this today. Spiritual gifts are given to us to minister to others. So if you're using your gifts that God's given you, your talents and abilities, and you're doing that and helping others to grow in the Christian faith, and then I'm doing what I can do with my gifts to help others develop in the Christian faith, then that means we're all growing and developing. And the church is hopefully blossoming. Yes, we want the numbers to grow, but blossoming as a Christian, see? Every individual blossoming and growing as a Christian. Again, don't leave it up to just one person. All of us need to be involved in this. That's why, maybe you know this already, but several months back, we took the church directory and divided it up among all the deacons evenly, and they each have a certain section that they're responsible for. To check on people, to call them or send them a card or see that they're doing okay. And it's all part of using your gifts and abilities to help others to become all that God wants them to become. It helps the church ministry to be effective. Okay? So why is it important for everyone to be involved? To assist the pastor in ministry needs and functions, to direct select programs and ministries of the church, to help the pastor develop the spiritual gifts and talents within the congregation. And then this fourth thought also is very important, to enable the church as a whole to properly carry out its God-given purpose on this earth. To enable the church as a whole to properly carry out its God-given purpose on this earth. Everyone should be involved and be ready to do their part. Now, again, I understand this. I know this without any doubt whatsoever. We're all on different levels of spiritual growth and spiritual footing and all that. We're not all exactly the same. We're not cookie cutters of each other. Some are ahead of others spiritually, and some are below others spiritually. But yet, we're all necessary. We're all necessary. We're all needed. Think about this with me. I'm almost done. We're not going to turn to these scriptures, but I want to describe to you what's in there. And I'm going to start with Jesus and his disciples. How many disciples did he choose? 12, right? And then he worked with them and trained them for 3 years. And then he eventually ascended up into heaven and told them, go out and carry on what I taught you to do. All right? In those 3 years of ministry, there's a passage in the Gospel of Mark where the Bible says he sent them out two by two. And they went out and witnessed and ministered in different localities. All right? That's New Testament. Of course, the passage here in Ephesians 4 that I was using this morning. Then I want to do this. Let's go back to the Old Testament in our minds, okay? In the book of Numbers, chapter 11, God had Moses, and Moses describing this in the book of Numbers, God had Moses choose out 70 elders among the people. People that were respected, people that were looked up to, people that the people would listen to. And God, through Moses, gave responsibility to those 70 elders to watch over the children of Israel and to help them. Many of the people could bring their issues to those men, and if they couldn't solve it, they'd bring it to Moses. Okay? Something similar happened earlier in Moses' life in the book of Exodus chapter 18. In Exodus chapter 18, Moses was sitting with the people. Now, remember, you need to remember this. There were over 1 million people, like some people say 1.5 to 2 million people, that came out of Egypt heading towards the promised land. Can you imagine poor Moses trying to sit and listen to all the people's issues and problems and questions? And he would try to handle them. And his father-in-law, Jethro, came to him and said, what you're doing is not wise. You're going to wear away. Why don't you choose out among the people some men that people look up to and will listen to help you in this? The people then divided up evenly, you know, among all these counseling men, can bring their problems to these men. Anything they can't solve, they can bring to you. And of course, that worked very, very well. These examples, both Old Testament and New Testament, to me show, again, that thought, and I've said it several times, one man can't do it all. You need others to step up beside him and help him. And that's what I'm trying to encourage all of us to do here this morning when I have this title that I've given you, Every Member in Ministry. It's not God's plan that one guy do it all or one person do it all. You ready? It's God's plan that we all do it all. So, having said all that, what can you do? What can you do to help out? And I know there's something, because God's given us all talents and abilities and gifts to use in his work. And I want to encourage you to think about that, pray about that, even seek the scriptures and seek God's will and ask him what he wants you to do. And then, to the best of your ability, try to do that. If you need some advice or counsel, come see me. I'd be glad to point you in the right direction if I can. So let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. Every member in ministry. Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity we had to be together to talk about this subject today. The passage we started out with and referred to several times in Ephesians talks about the fact that you gave these men, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to minister to the people so that they also could get involved in ministry as they grow and mature. And the whole body of Christ is being edified as this happens. And of course, I didn't stress it much, but verse 13 says that all of this has happened basically until you come back for us. Till we all come in the unity of the knowledge of Christ, which is when our Lord returns and takes us home to heaven. And so help us, Lord, to, as a church body, to function as we ought to, not leaving it up to one person or even just a select few, but all of us getting involved in doing all the work. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.